Well, Lord, you know, I'm not feeling it. Yeah, well, neither was I. I'm going to say that again. Neither was I when I got on the cross for you. Biblical love is not a feeling. It's a commitment. Brothers, love her like Christ loves you. Have you ever sat down? You know, you've come from a terrible time of sin and self-centered consumption. Ooh, I'm full of my sin and I feel awful about it. And then you kneel before the Lord and you say, Lord Jesus, do you ever sense him going, I'm not going to listen to you, goofball, until you apologize? Brothers, do you ever get the sense when you're pouring your heart out to the Lord because something powerful is occupying your focus? Oh, Lord, Lord. Do you ever get the feeling that the Lord's kind of doing one of these and looking at you, then he's kind of looking over your shoulder at the game? Oh, I'm sorry. What was that, Steve? Yeah, go ahead. Brothers, love her like Jesus loves you. That's your pattern. Here's another thing Jesus never does. And Lord, when they said this and such and that and such to me, what a jerk they were. Do you ever sense the Lord saying, whoa, Steve, dude, no, that's not how it went down. Look, I'm the accuracy police, and let me tell you how it really went down. Do you ever hear God leaping to correct your perception? That's not what I meant at all. Does the Lord say, my son, give me your heart, and is concerned with what's concerning me, not in the interest of I'm right. By the way, if Jesus ever does pull the accuracy police badge, he can do that because he does know everything. Husbands, put your accuracy police badge away and listen to your wife. Are you concerned with what is concerning to her? Believe you me, if she's not sensing that, her heart is going to stay closed. Verse 3, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body. All the brothers are going, yeah. But the husband does, and likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Dudes are just wired differently than our sisters are. That's all there is to it. Guys are very sight-oriented. We react physically and sexually in a little different pathway than our wives do. And why did God do it that way? I mean, seriously. If she feels loved and concerned and focused, if the relationship is good, then she feels a freedom to be sexual. And dudes are often misunderstanding all the time. And the dudes are all, my wife, you know, she's so this and that. And she always and she never is, you know, physically and intimately. And then I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to find me somebody who will. Oh, brother, don't fall into that one. And sister, don't fall into that either. He won't listen to me. If he is being selfless, concerned with the things that are concerning her, if she is being supportive, then the coming together in an intimate fashion is supposed to be powerful and an absolutely beautiful and sublime passion and power. It is healing when the words have failed. And husbands or men are so often wanting to take the shortcut. I want immediate physical satisfaction, and you'd better give it to me. You don't understand what it means to love her like Christ loves you. It's been said men have the power of money, perhaps, and women have the power of sex, perhaps. But the point of it is, you have both using the one to control or to manipulate the other. Oh, in Jesus' name, may it not be so. Harvest. Verse 4, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. And do not deprive one another. Now, what's the context here? Affection, but also physical intimacy. Do not deprive one another except with consent and for a time. You get into the Greek words here, and it means a short time, a temporary time. Except with both of you are in agreement that for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. If both are in agreement, then okay. Don't be separated for very long, because look at this. And come together again. The term is quickly, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Skip over to verse 10. To the married I command, yet not I but the Lord. In other words, this is a commandment right out of the Old Testament. A wife is not to depart from her husband. We just read that. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife, says Paul. If you get divorced for non-biblical reasons, you are not supposed to get married again. But to the rest, I, not the Lord. In other words, he's saying this isn't right out of the Bible. In 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16, Paul is writing scripture, and we are seeing it. If any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. I'm a believer, you're not. I'm saintly, and you're a sinner, so I'm cutting you loose. Don't do that. Look at verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. He's not saved by the wife. That's his own individual decision. But there is a covering. The Holy Spirit is in her, working through her. And the unsaved has a very good chance of responding to that conviction. Sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified, or set apart, really, by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now they are holy. Verse 15, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. In other words, if you are married to someone who is not a believer and they want a divorce, don't take an active role yourself in dismantling the relationship. But if they want to depart, and they do, the Bible here is saying you are free to marry again. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us for peace. For how do you know, O saved wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how will you know, O saved husband, that you will not save your wife? Back to 19, Matthew 19. Let's kind of put it all together here. Verse 9. And I, Jesus, say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality. He's saying, hey, you Hillel devotees. Hillel was wrong. Because Moses predates them. Because God said the two shall become one flesh. And what God has joined together, let. Well, I'm not divorcing. I'm just separating for a while. To get a little breathing room. Well, what does God say about separating? Don't do it. Obviously, there are extenuating circumstances. If someone is being physically violent or threatening, you shouldn't stay in that situation. If there is a medical condition that separates husband and wives, obviously that's something that's important. What about separation just to get our thoughts together? No, because what will happen is, just like Paul says, you're going to find some honey online that is going to tell you all the things that your tortured soul is desperate to hear. The enemy sees to it. And then you fall under that potion. You fall under that spell. I'll be happier with her. By the way, if she knows that you're married and you're carrying on a little something something on Facebook, your mother was right. If they'll do it with you, they'll do it. If someone is willing to do that with you, knowing where you are, then they have a lot of homework to do themselves. And God says, get to counseling if you need, pastoral, biblical counseling if you need. But by and large, if you are word, worship, prayer, and fellowship, and learning God's word, and every day when it comes to your wife or your husband, Lord, search me first. Because it was designed that your spouse is the sharpest scalpel to do the deepest work. Man, nobody gets under my skin like my bride. And there's the Lord. You're welcome. There's a proverb that says, where there is no ox, the pen is clean. But great is the increase of the ox. I'm not calling your husband an ox. Where there's no ox, yeah, look at everything nice and neat and tidy. But you are not as full as you could be if you had the benefits of having an ox in your life. And having ox means poo and dirty stalls and stepping on your feet. I'm kind of digging myself deeper, aren't I, here? You know what God's trying to say. It is not easy being married. Why? Because we are fallen, we are selfish, and we are eminently short-sighted. Who knows better what I need, me or my loving Heavenly Father of lights? You stay in this marriage. You do your homework. You ask God to change you. And if you do, you will be changed. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her, who is divorced, commits adultery. And right now, if the statistics are true, and they are, here in Washoe County, that pretty much includes every single one of us in this room. No, it doesn't. I've only been married once. Good for you. What about your parents? Ooh. Or, I got you, Steve. My parents were not divorced, and I've never been divorced. Ha! Okay, fine. You win. You get a free donut in the fellowship hall afterwards. What about the rest of us? Are we then committing adultery? That was as well on the hearts of the disciples. Verse 10. And his disciples said to him, wow, Lord. If such is the case of a man with his wife, then isn't it better not to marry at all? By the way, is adultery a sin? Answer, of course it is. But is it the unpardonable sin? No. Remember the gal that they brought to Jesus in John chapter 8, and she was caught in the very act of adultery? They threw her at Jesus' feet, caught in the very act. She was a plant, of course. They said, so what are we going to do, stone her or let her go? If he said stone her, then he would lose the trust, I suppose, of the observing crowd, and then obviously Jesus isn't a friend of sinners. But if he says let her go to play to the crowd, then he breaks the law. We are so smart, they thought. We got him if he says yes or no. Jesus starts to write in the dirt. Okay, I tell you what, you who are without sin, you throw the first stone. By the way, there was somebody actually standing there who had never sinned. Jesus. Did he pick up a stone? If I am not apprehended by how much Jesus has forgiven me of, I'm apt and able to pick up stones very quickly. One by one, they let their stones go, and you know the story. He brings her close and he says, where are your accusers? Because it takes two witnesses, according to the law, for capital punishment. So there was no other witnesses. Jesus is still within the law. Where are your accusers? Where are the witnesses? There are none, Lord. Neither do I accuse you. Now, go and change your life. Yes, adultery is a sin, but it's not the unpardonable sin. And though we may have committed adultery, praise God, we don't live in adultery. So what happens if I'm married the third or fourth time, or I marry someone who's been married multiple times? Here's the basic truth. If both of you today are like the woman thrust down in front of Jesus, repentant, willing to learn, and willing to adopt biblical understandings of how to love one another, you may have committed adultery by marrying each other, but you don't live in adultery because of the grace of the cross of Christ. Sin is never God's best. It always costs. It makes life difficult. If you are married for the second or third time or marrying someone, that's not a death sentence to the marriage. I'm just saying it'll be a little more difficult, but you can do it. I am that adulterous wife there in Jeremiah 31. I love Jesus, I really and truly do. Many is the time I've told him so in worship and praise. That's on a Sunday, but then on a Tuesday, sometimes I go where I go in my mind. You know who one of the biggest adulterers is in this room? Me. And God says, according to Jeremiah 31, it's okay, Steve. Come back. If there is unrepentant sexual sin in a marriage done to that spouse or against the spouse has biblical grounds for a divorce. God's heart is that no matter how awful the process got, God's heart is that both will repent and come home. And if you do, no matter how far off track your marriage is, starting today, it can be absolutely, absolutely beautiful. Finally, verse 11, let's scoot to the end. Then he, Jesus, said to them, all cannot accept this saying, but only those whom it has been given, for there are eunuchs or single people who have been born thus from their mother's womb. There are eunuchs or single people who were made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs or single people for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Paul was one of those. He was probably married. He was in the Sanhedrin, and you couldn't be in the Sanhedrin if you weren't married. But he'll say later, if you really want to go full on for the Lord, it's harder if you're married. Not impossible, but it is more difficult. And there are some that have said, I don't really have a desire to be married. This would be you. And you know what? It's cool. It's a God thing, potentially, for you. He was able to accept it, let him accept it. There is no greater indication of our hearts before the Lord than how we are doing with our spouse. If you're grumping and grumbling after her or him, before you point the finger, maybe ask, Lord, am I looking at you in some of the same ways? I don't often recommend books other than the Bible, but these are two good ones. The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Really good, especially for you dudes. Steve, I did that thing. I'm loving her like Christ loves the church. I take her fishing every Saturday. Yeah. Well, you know, you might want this book. Husbands, are you loving her like you like to be loved? Or are you loving her like she wants to be loved? It's a wonderful time. The same thing, wives. I'm loving him like crazy. I'm supporting him like crazy. Why is he still mad at me? Are you supporting him in the way that you like to be supported? Or are you supporting him in the way that he likes to be supported? This is a wonderful read. You'll understand the different sort of love languages. Some love languages are physical touch and quality time. And some people are gifts. If you have one of those in your life, you know that there are people that just give gifts. And you're like, I didn't get you anything. It's okay. A lot of time, dudes are about acts of service. You don't love me, she says. Honey, I mowed the lawn. And then secondly, here's a great one. The Power of a Praying Wife by Stormy O'Mardian. Dudes, you can read this one as well. They have another book called Power of a Praying Husband. Ask my wife about this one. When Christian Steve, well before he sat in this seat, I'll tell you, I was no saint by any stretch of the imagination. Stormy O'Mardian gives a wonderful account of you go first. Beautiful. And then finally, a couple of parting thoughts. The marriage bed, Harvest Family, is it indeed undefiled? Is the porn involved in someone's life? Well, that's going to defile the bed. It's going to make itself known in the intimacy between the couples. You got to get rid of it. Is somebody withholding affection until they get their way? Are there resentments? Are there hurts? All sort of manifested in problems in the bedroom. Please don't run to Facebook. Run to the Lord. Lord, search me. What is going on with me that I can change? Because God has designed the sexual union to be spiritually powerful. That's why the enemy goes after it so much. Let's all stand together. Lord, I know that marriage and marriage challenges are typically the highest stresses in your sons and daughters. And I'll just bet a large majority of the folks in here have never done a detailed study on husbands, detailed study on godly wives, and they just joined at the matrimonial altar for a number of reasons. On this side of the altar, men are their challenges. Oh, Harvest family, please hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, yeah. Are you tired enough not to divorce? But are you wearied enough to come to my word and lay down your tools for intimacy and pick up mine for you? Husbands, are you willing to love her like Jesus Christ loves you? Wives, are you willing to support like Jesus supports you? And Lord, why the enemy goes after marriages so much is because if there's a biblical, godly couple, oh my, what an illustration of your love for us, Lord Jesus. No wonder you call us your bride. May there be more and more people in this fellowship who are selfless, others focused, the goal of which that both husband and wife can be naked physically and emotionally and spiritually and feel no shame. Let it come, Lord Jesus, to this family. Let it come. Is that the Lord knocking on the door of your heart? And you have been contemplating the death of your marriage. It's all you can seem to think about. Please understand, that's from the outside in. That's a demonic plan for you to blow up your life and to wreck your children. Are you willing to say, search me, O God. What am I doing wrong? What can I do different first? Your children are dependent on what happens, and your grandchildren. There are blended families in this room, Lord God. There's husbands and wives on first and second marriages. For those, Lord God, I pray that you would stop the guilt. Stop them torturing themselves. It may have been an adulterous marriage to get started, but praise God, a sin of adultery is not a life of adultery. And my life is in you, Lord, because all of my sin, everybody say all. All of my sin is nailed to the cross. Let me learn from this day forward how to love my spouse and my spouse's children. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and move through every heart. Destroy every demonic yoke in Jesus' name. And pour, Lord, an anointing, a fresh flow of hope. Put into the hearts and minds of many, whatever it is that's dying, that they're trying to tell you is dying, is not dying in Jesus' name. Because with the Spirit of the Lord is there is life. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting, say it with me, life. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said,